McDonald's has fired its chief executive, Steve Easterbrook, for having a relationship with an employee. And while the relationship was consensual, Mr. Easterbrook agreed it went against the values and the rules of the company, and he said it was a mistake. Now, this comes after Barnaby Joyce's affair with a staffer led to the so-called bonking ban last year. The workplace is often considered one of the more common ways you can meet a life partner, but clearly that idea might be heading out the window as more and more workplaces deem intercollegial relationships less than ideal. So is banning all workplace relationships the right way forward? Should the rules just be for executives and subordinates, or ministers in the case of the Australian Parliament? It is a very tricky space full of complex power dynamics. And to chat about the changing values on workplace relationships, I'm joined by psychosexual therapist Jacqueline Hellier. Jacqueline, thanks so much for joining us on RN Drive.
It's my pleasure.
What's your reaction to the McDonald's decision?
Well, look, it's not surprising. I mean, we're cutting down a lot more in our society about inappropriate relationships and power dynamics and so forth, and particularly when it comes to, you know, relationships and so forth. So I'm not surprised that they had the rule there in the first place or that they're actually sticking to it.
So do you think it's the right way forward to ban all workplace relationships or even just relationships between high-level staff and lower-level staff?
Yeah, look, it's a tricky one. I mean, the thing is that meeting people at work has always been a good way to meet people. You know, you're around each other, you get to know each other. You know, hopefully you've got something in common since you work in the same field. So I think it would be a shame if that was totally banned. I think what we're talking about with the McDonald's situation, though, is much more about power dynamics and how that's problematic. So that if you've got someone who's at a senior level who's having a relationship with someone who's their subordinate, particularly if it's a direct line subordinate, well, yeah, that's problematic, I think. So I can see why they'd want to have some rules in place around that.
Yeah, well, that rule is similar to the rule that Malcolm Turnbull brought in last February after the Barnaby Joyce scandal, where he changed the ministerial code of conduct so that ministers could never be romantically involved with their subordinates. Yeah. Do you think that's reasonable? Obviously, that's nowhere near a complete ban on all workplace relationships.
Yeah, look, it's interesting. I mean, that one also involved infidelity as well. And in fact, that's part of the problem with some of these kinds of relationships when you've got, you know, particularly a senior male with a female subordinate, is often there's infidelity involved as well, which makes it a bit more complex. But otherwise, yes, you know, it compromises people when they're in that sort of a position. And so I can see why companies or, you know, workplaces in general would want to put that in place.
Yeah, it does seem at the core of the Me Too kind of revelations was a new understanding of the way power dynamics play out in relationships, particularly in a workplace, because people often don't realise the power they wield when they're an executive or a high-flying producer in Harvey Weinstein's case.
Yeah, well, I don't know how new the understanding was. At least 50% of the population was quite aware of what was going on. It seems like the other 50% wasn't so aware, but I'm glad it's come out there so that we can have honest conversations about it and see where it is problematic, because, you know, we're not saying that relationships are bad. Relationships are beautiful. Having a good relationship is one of the best and healthiest things you can do in your life. But when it gets complicated and there's power games and that brings in pressure and it brings in favouritism and obligations, and it can just get, messy.
Yeah, well, in the case of the McDonald's CEO, it's panned out very badly for him. But in the past, has it mostly been the more junior person in a workplace relationship who bears most of the cost?
Yeah, well, I think that's one of the things that we're seeing a little bit differently. I mean, historically, you know, men had the power, and certainly senior men in corporations had the power, and if they were having an affair or a relationship with the junior female and it became embarrassing, you know, word got out, well, it'd be more likely that she'd be shunted away or, you know, shamed in some way, and he'd be like, well, you know, that's what men in power do, don't they? So we'll just forget about that. We'll talk about it at our men's club while we're drinking our whiskies and smoking our cigars, won't we? It might be a bit of a generalisation, but I think we can all relate to that. Whereas now we're actually saying, hey, come on, that's not on, and you're the one who has responsibility for this in large part. So we're bringing it to the fore, and we're not just going to hide it and sweep it under the carpet.
So how would you go about dealing with, a romantic connection in a workplace if it did come up, and say there was someone you were interested in and It seemed to be reciprocated, and it wouldn't violate any company policies like the McDonald's policy or Turnbull's bonking ban. How would you go about it so you do it in the right way?
Yeah, look, I mean, naturally, you know, people meet each other in all different situations, and if you've got a particular affinity and you want to develop that relationship further, I mean, that's all fabulous. But let's be, you know, honest and open and realistic about it. Take your time. There's no rush. You know, if something's developing and you think it's going to be problematic for the work situation, well, then maybe you start talking about changing positions or moving around before it gets too serious. Or if it is serious already, then, you know, have a really good talk about, will this affect your work relationship, how it might affect other people around you? Because it depends so much on what your work situation is. I mean, you know, if you're in a big multinational and you're in completely different divisions and there's no direct report, that's going to be much less problematic than, you know, maybe you work in a small company and there might only be half a dozen of you all working together. You know, obviously a relationship's going to affect that small group dynamic differently than if you're in a much bigger organisation.
Yeah, and what about how you would even start it? Because propositioning someone who's a colleague can change your relationship with that person forever. How do you even go about that?
It's not that uncommon. I was actually talking to a client just the other day about this very problem. You know, he's kind of like, I'm not sure whether this relationship is developing into something more or not, and how do I find out discreetly? But look, I mean, it's the same with someone in a sporting team or a friend of a friend, you know, like anyone who you're developing some feelings towards, at some point you need to put it out there and say, hey, look, you know, really like you. Not sure how you feel about this, but I'd be interested in taking this further. Look, sometimes you've just got to be bold and make a move, but do it politely, do it respectfully, nothing sleazy, nothing too corny. Be out with it, and, you know, hopefully they feel the same way, but it's always a risk and they might always say no, and hopefully they'd say no politely and you can just move on smoothly.
Well, I think the advice there would be, if they do say no, never to ask again.
Well, yes, not to that same person, but like, don't give up totally.
Yeah, I didn't mean never ask anyone ever again in your whole life, but I think there is often a problem where people make repeated advances and that makes the other person very uncomfortable.
No, absolutely. And that, and actually that does become sexual harassment. I mean, that's the difference between sexual harassment and actually just, you know, trying to develop a relationship with someone that you like. It's all in the how that you do it.
Some helpful advice in a very complex space. Jacqueline Hellyer, thanks so much for joining us on RN Drive.
It's been a pleasure. Thank you.